grab your wine. It's time for Rosé All Day and Julie's a Mess, where we talk about current events and living in an intersex life. And now, here's Julie.
Hi, everybody. It is episode 23. I can't believe that we're in our 23rd episode. We're going to get to our guest in just a second. But I do have a couple of announcements this evening and things that are going on with me. Let's first talk about my wine. I am drinking a favorite that I have discovered in this last year. It was actually sent to me by a good friend, Blair Fanning, for my birthday. But tonight's wine is a rosé by Luca and Sons. I actually went out and got it again. You all know I'm looking for a wine sponsor. So if you know anybody that's trying to find something that they can get behind and a show that will be their charge, then let them know that I am always looking for a wine sponsor. But tonight the wine is Luca and Sons, and I don't really have to taste it because I like it. Mama likes it a lot. She just wants to remind you that if you like her wine tumbler, it's available on justjulie.com under the merchandise button. You too can have a tumbler that you can really put anything in. Milk, rosé, vodka. But it does say XX wine on it.
Woohoo!
XX wine, right? So XXY, we all know what that means. Rosé all day. And then my picture's on the back. Who doesn't want a glass next to their bed with my picture on it? It's like you're waking up with me. Or, you know, not waking up with me, but just throwing money on the table and telling me to get out. Okay, so that's the wine for this week. Also, I have a hair sponsor this week. So guys, my good friend, Michael Booth, who owns his own studio in Orlando in Winter Park at Point Noir, Michael's Booth, he decided that he wanted to sponsor my hair tonight. And so this is called Jade. It's from Renea Paris, and this color is Vanilla Lush. It arrived. It was supposed to arrive tomorrow, but it arrived early. So guess what? I'm rocking it. So thank you, Michael. If anybody else would like to sponsor my hair for a future episode, please get in touch with us at julie@justjulie.com. And we will make sure that that happens for you as well. So wine sponsor, wig sponsor, it's all good. However you want to look at it. Things coming up next week may have a great friend, Laura Korn, who is a sex therapist and has written 1001 Sexual Nights. It's a huge top seller on the book list, wherever you find your books. But she's a good old friend from California, and she may be our guest next week. So please join us for that. And then we'll be coming up with the 25th episode. I have no idea who I want to invite for that. But anyway, let's talk about our guest tonight. Returning, Manny and Nate, my boys from Orlando, and their new adoptive son, Ethan. Hi, Ethan.
Hi.
Manny and Nate, for those that are listening at home, how do you know me?
Oh, my gosh. Well, so Julie and I were on the board together for Come Out with Pride, which is Orlando's Pride Festival. And we served for 1 year together before she had to move away. I'm so sad. But we've kept in touch, and it's so nice to see her when we get to. So very glad to be here.
And I met this stunning lady through Chantal Roche, and we've stayed in touch and become great friends. So always wonderful to see your beautiful face and aww, your new enhancements as well.
Upgraded.
Woo! My oh my.
If you're watching the cam, you just got a peek of the new girls. If you're not and you're listening on Spotify, maybe you can just hear the gravity in the conversation. They're heavy. But I'm on the healing end, so that's good. I also wanted to talk really fast about a new business venture that I am involved in, having to do with a new person-to-person internet grid across the country, sponsored by Helium. And if you're interested in signing up for a box to mine cryptocurrency, which from what tech people are saying is the wave of the future, you can see the link at the bottom of the video right now. That will show you how you can sign up for free to get your mining box. And all you have to do is pay for shipping, but you plug it into your wall. And over the next couple of years, you will be running away with Bitcoins that you can turn into cash. And who doesn't like cash? So we're going to get right into it now, but it's great. And I can explain it more to you if you want to reach out to me personally. But the link is at the bottom of the screen right now. And that's through Helium and iHub, creating a person-to-person internet grid across the world.
Julie, did Helium sponsor your tatas?
What?
Did Helium sponsor your tatas?
I mean, they should. No, insurance covered my tatas. People are like, what? How? I'm like, intersex. Like, yeah. It's not, it wasn't considered cosmetic. I should say Helium sponsored it, but, you know, I don't want to lie. Who wants to lie? Okay, so now that we know how Nate and Manny know me, Ethan doesn't really know me at all, but we're going to go, instead of doing our normal pitch in a few minutes of Julie's a mess, because we all know I am, we're going to subvert that, which is content for tonight's show, which is all about kind of adoption, and that's why the boys have joined me this evening, is so we can talk about that. That is a cause close to my heart. It is a cause close to theirs. So we're going to get into that in just a second. But at the moment, we are going into current events, right? So current events. Let's talk about the big stuff. The Taliban has taken back Afghanistan. God help us all. I mean, that's my personal belief on it. It's sad. You figure after 20 years of us being involved in Afghanistan and building up so many of the more important things like fighting for women's rights and changing some of those things, now there is an organization back in control of that government system, and they have been known throughout history to not honor women's rights, personal rights. Like, it's scary. What's the general consensus going on? Well, one, Ethan, tell us, because you just started high school. You started, not high school, but you're in high school in Orlando. Has there been any talk about that where you're at? And boys, Nate and Manny, what's the general consensus in Orlando? Like, what's the talk been like?
Well, at my school, not really. We only brought it up in history class because we were talking about how the fall of Rome was caused by invaders taking over the country. And that's it.
History repeating itself.
Very relevant. Yeah.
It's very relevant.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking last night in the kitchen because Ethan didn't understand the significance of this and the drawdown of troops and the withdrawal of troops. And we told him, he's like, well, this is recent. It isn't in the history books yet. And I'm like, actually, it goes back to before you were born, right? Like to the early 2000s. So, you know, 2002, I think, is when the Taliban first invaded Afghanistan, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, this has been going on for a long time, and it's unfortunate. I hope that it doesn't turn into an even bigger mess than it already is. So
the Taliban is stating that the new regime will allow women to still hold the rights that they've obtained. But, of course, most of them have fled the country or are in the process of fleeing the country. So that's hard to tell.
It'll be interesting to see. And, they've been responsible for some really scary stuff in the past. My philosophy is, when can we just love each other and heal? You know, we've gone through so much as a world in the last couple of years. And when can we just move past that and heal? So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out and in what happens just even in the next week or so. Looking at other current events, the only one I came across, which is a little bit different, is a man in Utah was at Lagoon Adventure Park. And you know those really big swings? that you get on. He was riding it and somehow fell out of his seat 50 feet. And they took him to the hospital, but he died earlier today. So I guess my question is, talking about this, do you feel, I've always said I won't go on rides at carnivals or not as popular theme parks because of things like this. You always hear about these kind of accidents happening. I would much rather go on a roller coaster at SeaWorld or Walt Disney World, where I know they're tested all the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, growing up as a kid, we always went on those, you know, different types of carnivals that came into town. But knowing what we know now about them not being certified or tested, then no, I would never do that. Yes. Well, you're still young. You can do that because you're still young and think that death isn't a thing. It's all right.
Oh, no, I know death is a thing. I've already accepted.
I do think it's funny. I just saw totally off topic, on topic for what we were talking about before the show started. The Nebraska State Fair is starting at the end of this month. And one of their big posters has that type swing on it, you know, with all the swings going around. And then it says, blue sky, big swing, Nebraska State Fair is for swingers.
I was waiting for you to go there, but I thought if I did it.
I literally was like, I know. I know it is. Okay, so those are our current events. I want to reach over and say hi to the people that are already starting to comment on YouTube. So good evening, Blair Fanning. Good evening, Charles Richardson. And good evening to everybody else that may be watching us. Feel free to ask questions tonight. It's all about education and learning on all sides of the box. So we're going to kind of get started. So I was informed that, well, okay, so last show that Manny and Nate were on, we had talked about adoption and kind of the process that they were going through. They had at that point in time already located Ethan. They were not talking necessarily about Ethan. They were just talking about the process. Guys, tell us kind of how that process finished coming into now this show. So what was the process like after that last show?
Wow. I'm trying to remember when we were last on.
Lots happened.
It was like May. It was like early May, I think.
Yeah, I think at that point we had identified Ethan from the Tampa Heart Gallery, but we were not at privy to use his name or anything of that nature, because he didn't even know that we were looking at him at that point. So I think from that point, he was identified. There was what they call a match that was made. And usually when a match is made, you are not allowed to match with any of the children for obvious reasons. They don't want it to be a disappointment to the child once you tell them. So we did have a very nice meeting at a restaurant in Tampa. That's where we first met Ethan. We went on a really nice walk down to the water because Ethan really loves the water and the beach, kind of like we do. Has aspirations to be a marine biologist, and, you know, filled our ears with knowledge about sharks and fish and the ocean that, you know, we really didn't even know or had forgotten from school. So he holds a ton of knowledge and information about that. So you can see that was truly his passion. So then, you know, we kind of walked back to the restaurant, said our goodbyes. That was probably about a 3-hour meeting, right? Probably. You know, so from there, you know, I think weekend after weekend, Ethan just started coming over to the house, and that's a normalized thing that happens. You start off with a period where there are visits that are supervised, which is what that was. Since Ethan is a little bit older, they've allowed that process to speed up a little bit. From there, we go on to unsupervised visits, which is what happened. Then Ethan was kind of going back and forth between us and the group home, but there was a COVID variant outbreak at his center, so they sent him right back before he even got there. So he was in transit from us to them, and they said, nope, turn him around. So at that point, the MOP move order, which is where we basically take foster sort of custody of him, if you will, for lack of a better term, was signed. And now Ethan is here permanently. So from this point forward, now he's enrolled in school. He just started classes. And then down the road, when the judge or the court see fit, they will move towards adoption.
Now, when you went into this, when you started to go into this process, Was there an age range you wanted? Did you want an older child? Did you explain how that works a little bit?
We were kind of an open book. You know, I think we talked about how this process started for us. You know, there was a sibling group that had been identified, and their mother still had parental rights to them, and they were living in foster care, and we were trying to intervene. And that situation fell through, and after it did, we'd already gone through all the certifications and everything, so we really felt like we should just cast a net, and we did. We reached out about, I think, 12 kids or so, something like that. We got information back on a few of them. Some of them, after reading the child studies, were like, nah, this isn't going to be a good fit. You know, it's a tough thing. You're almost kind of like, it's almost like applications for a job. You know, you feel like you're kind of going through the applications and determining, is this person a good candidate? That's really how our process was. But, you know, we reached out about kids that were as young as 6 and as old as Ethan at 16, well, 15 at the time. So, yeah, we had a very wide net.
Now, I know y'all are super excited because you would come across one of Ethan's YouTube videos that he had made when he was 14, I think, 13, 14.
14, or 14. Just turned 15. Yeah.
Okay. And Ethan, tell everybody about that. That was actually your ode, kind of, if you will, to coming out. I have to say, before you tell us about it, you had a wonderful friend in that video with you, and she was kind of helping you and fostering kind of questions for you in the video. And I've watched it a couple of times. It's very poignant. A lot of people in our community, it takes them years to come to that and to even be able to come out. So I have to applaud you first for being able to do it at a young age and to have people in your life that supported that. But tell us about that.
Well, I knew that I was gay, and at first I thought I was bisexual because I found some guys attractive, and at the time I didn't know if I liked females or not. So over time, I eventually gained the knowledge I needed, and I found out that I was gay. And though I hid it from most of the world for a while, eventually I was just, like, push came to shove, and I just came out. I didn't want to keep fighting for it anymore.
So when you, sorry, go ahead.
I put it on YouTube with the help of my friend, and from there on, yeah.
When you found out that you were potentially being adopted, when was it that you found out that you would have two dads, and were you excited about that?
I was excited when I found out, because I found out like immediately after they were like, after they told me that it was a couple that looked into me, I was like, who are they? Like, what are they? And they were like, it's two men, and they live in Orlando. One's Nate and one's Manny, and that's all I got out of it.
And can I add something to that? So I'd like to add into that, Julie, because I know it's probably on some of your viewers' minds. We had no idea that Ethan identified as LGBTQ. You know, when we identified that we would like to potentially match with Ethan, the caseworker at that time sent us a note saying, hey, do you mind or would you consider being interested in a youth that identifies as LGBTQ? So first thought was, well, she didn't read our dossier yet. But secondly, we thought, well, this is great. You know, I mean, we had no, because some people say, well, how did you get, people ask me, how did you get a gay kid? I'm like, it just happened. We didn't, you know, asking.
Well, let's preface it too. You said people asked that. You would have taken any kid.
Any kid. Yeah, we had
The love that you wanted to give would have benefited anybody in that position. It just happens that I mentioned it last night in my blog. It's situations like this situation that I consider that's when lightning strikes, right? That's lightning in a bottle, because the two of you do have a very strong position in that community or in Orlando. And it's almost like the universe or whoever you believe in, God, whoever said, here's Ethan. And this is how he identifies. And this is what he needs in his life. And here's Nate and Manny, and let's put them together. And it's lightning in a bottle, right? It's a situation that came to fruition out of a need on both end, and the things you'll be able to do for each other is tantamount going forward. So I think it's a great situation. Let's talk about adoption a little bit, Manny. I know that you work now in a position that does a lot with adoption. I have often said intersex people, for the most part, are sterile. A few intersex people in our community can foster a natural born child, but a lot can't. And it causes a lot of disdain and hurt and pain within the intersex community because they can't have their own kids. We've always advocated that adoption is a great way to fill that need. There's my Southern accent coming out. Feel that need. Adoption is great. If I could do it, I would. I can't. I'm not in a position anymore in my life where I can do that. But let's talk about that. How important and crucial is adoption in this day and age?
Sure. So I'll take that one. So being the position I'm in, which is running a behavioral health center and running an adoption agency, we do a lot of research on this. And just within Florida alone, there's upwards of around 30,000 children that are upwards of the age of 10 years old who are often rejected simply because they're not of the age of under 10, okay, if that makes sense. So if you look at it this way, children between the ages of 0 to 4 are normally snatched up right away because they're picked up by parents, by foster parents who have a license. So they're already taken. So anyone who's 5 and up, 5, 6, 7, and 8, are the next range that people want to go after. But the moment they hit the heart galleries, they're gone. There's a lot of, there's probably upwards of about 100 or plus adoption agencies just in the state of Florida that will jump on that immediately. So it's all about connections and things of that nature. And, you know, connections with the hospitals and NICU units, which is what we build upon. So what I'm trying to focus on, I have lots of clients right now who are looking for newborns, which is fine. We will get them for them. But what I'm trying to have everyone focus on are more of the teenagers who are stuck in a system that is doing its best to accommodate them with the limited resources that they have. But it is sparse. So, you know, our communities are really needed to jump in and assist them. We have seen plenty of situations where, Ethan, if you don't mind me saying, children of his age are really at a crossing. If they don't get the love, the nurture, the instruction that they need and a normalized schooling system that they need, they may fall back into the system, which would be prison. So we're trying to avoid that for them. So a lot of people often think, well, you know, why would I adopt a child who's 15, 16, 17? We even see some adopted at 19. And people think, why would you do that? Well, you have to realize that you're not adopting for just that moment. You are a forever family. So the point of this is that they need someone in the future to guide them. They need someone to come home to for the holidays. They want someone to be there when they're going through relationships or relationship crisis, jobs. Remember all those things that you went through after high school, right? There was a lot of stuff that you really wanted your parents to be there for. Well, they don't have them. So I do put it out there. So, you know, I want people to understand that agencies like mine, we're here to help you and guide you through that process. It is not an easy process. You know, there's a lot of, we all have trauma. We all have things that we go through. And, you know, we do provide the counseling. We provide the support that's there. But it is ultimately extremely rewarding. I mean, he's an amazing, talented, beyond our belief, drawer. He plays piano. You know, there's a lot of talents that I think he hasn't even discovered yet. And we're looking forward to being there and walking him through that process. So
he has great hair.
Yes, he has great hair.
He's attractive.
I know.
We attractive people have to stick together, Ethan. I'm here for you.
True. I know. It is true.
So, Ethan, first off, tell everybody that's listening or watching at home you had to have on some level at some point thinking, this is never happening. I'm never getting adopted. I would think that that's a generalized thing that most people that are in their teens go through. Did you have that feeling at any point in time? And what kept you going? What keeps you going before you were in a position like you are now with Manny and Nate?
Well, there was always a saying that I understood from a movie. You probably know it's from Manny, but it was that nobody really wants a teenager because we've already had our glass half filled. We grew up a totally different way than some other people have, and we might have a totally different mindset. So when that's why people usually go for the younger kids, because they can raise them from that age. Us, we're about like 3, 4, 5 years away from being 18, and after that, we could not be any good. We could end up bad, we could end up in jail, all that. But there was a time when I was just like, you know what, screw it, I'm just gonna age out. But then there were people that were there were like, why would you want to age out? There's always that potential person that can get you and treat you like your own. And I was like, okay, well, if that happens, I respect that, but it's more than likely not. And I didn't have anybody come up for me as an adoption until like a few months ago. And during those few months, I was excited, but I didn't keep my hopes up because usually nobody stays around for too long.
Sad. But now look at you. You, in your video that I posted on my blog, you had made a comment that Nate had shared with me, but it's even if Nate hadn't shared it with me, because I watched the video like 2 days after I had a conversation with Nate, there is a line in the video that you say, you do not have to taste the rainbow to support the rainbow. To respect the rainbow. And it reminds me kind of a Skittles commercial. I was like, that should be a Skittles new commercial. Mm. But did you come up against, do you feel like you came up against people in the adoption world that were not going to adopt you based on maybe knowing that you were out?
I knew that there were going to be families like that. There are going to be like Christianity families that are like, oh, that's a big sin. You're going to hell regardless if you repent, so on and so forth, et cetera, et cetera. But that didn't really stop me from being who I am because no one's going to like you better than yourself. And I kind of hate myself. So that's saying something. Not anymore.
You shouldn't hate yourself.
A lot.
I know it's easier to hear than because we all go through our different struggles and challenges, but don't hate yourself because you are one. Even in the few minutes that I've been talking to you, you have a certain light about you and aura, and you are wonderful. And I went to Pride here in Lincoln, Nebraska, a couple of months ago. And one of the things that just that I don't love big crowds. I really would have preferred if it had just been a bunch of men, whatever. But what I loved is there were so many young individuals at this Pride that were sure of who they were and grounded in the belief that, you know, for me, I thought Pride's going to live on because these are the doers and the movers and the shakers that are carrying on this community. And you've already shown that just even in your video that you're here for other people and that you want to make a difference. And that's important and huge, right? That's why people like your dads and myself and other people that are in the community want to leave a legacy. But the fact that you're picking that torch up and running with it, that already says so much about your character and who you are, that that's huge. And you shouldn't hate yourself because I think great things are going to come out of not only this union, but just you as a person.
Yeah. Go ahead. Well, I was going to say then, yeah, because I do think that not that being LGBTQ is already hard on its own, but being an LGBTQ youth, people are going to think of you even more different. And sometimes it's hard because people say I've seen people that were like, if you live in a gay household and you're gay yourself, wouldn't that be weird? I was like, not really. It really wouldn't be. And then there was these Karens that I've seen that were like, you can't raise a kid when you're gay because then you're going to turn them gay. And sometimes I just wanna smack. Because it's really messed up. But
there are a lot of antiquated notions and belief systems in play. There always will be. And I'm a huge proponent of, that's how you change perceptions, as you educate, right? We talk about it. You talk about it whenever you have a moment to do so to whoever will listen. I want to say really fast hi to Candace Cody. Candace is a huge advocate out of Australia for XXY, which is how we were both born, but also for the intersex community at large, which is huge in Australia. It's huge in the UK. It's starting to become a little bit bigger here in America, but I wanted to say hi. She just wanted to make sure that she said hi from Australia. We should all take a trip and go visit Candace.
Yes.
Continuing on with our chat, Ethan, you started school recently.
Yeah.
A new school, right? But you already feel like, but you're fitting in well, and I've heard good things already, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
what?
No, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, it's not just a new school for Ethan. It's actually his first experience in a real high school, because he's been, you know, he's been bouncing around the state. You've been in what, six different school districts in 6 years?
Yeah, six different school districts. And I've been in like probably 12.
For those of us that have not been in school for a very long, long time, that would be Nate and Manny. I'm just kidding. You too. For those that have not been in school for a really long time, what is first day like, and what are your anxieties like? I mean,
my first day was a little nerve-wracking in a way, but I've gotten so good at hiding my emotions that I could just wear a smile and you'd never know. So it was pretty scary when I walked in. So when I walked in, I felt like if I trip, something is going to terribly happen. So I just made sure I just looked at the ground the whole time. Are we talking like the first day of school or when I was sitting in the office?
Ethan's very literal, just so you know, yeah. which is great.
Wait, you've already gone to the office?
No, when I say I was sitting in the office, I mean I was trying to get my schedule, because we turned in my application form literally the day before the first day of school.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have my application for like 3 days.
Things wrapped up with transferring him from his previous school district and getting him settled here officially the Friday before school started. And we had by the time we got the information, it was already too late in the day to get him enrolled. So we had to do it on Monday. And then Monday afternoon, while all the other kids were touring the campus, and this is, mind you, this is two class years of students, because last year the kids were all virtual. So the freshmen last year were coming into the campus for the first time this year as sophomores. So like the school literally had half the students doing an open house touring the campus. Most of those kids had their schedules already, but because Ethan had just enrolled that morning, he didn't have a schedule yet. So we came and we walked the campus, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And at least got a feel for where the buildings were and what was where, and found a couple classes actually that we knew he might be in. So that was good.
Yeah, I was supposed to take Spanish, chorus, theater, and a couple of others. But unfortunately, I could only have one elective, because they wanted to stick me back in reading when I've already passed reading like 3 times, but every time I move, it doesn't really transfer over that well. So they usually stuck me back in it. And actually, here's the funny thing. I registered to be in marine biology this year, but because it's a different district, this year would be nature science. And I've already taken that like for 2 years. So it's pretty simple. But at the same time, it's just like, it's annoying, but I want to pass. So I'm just going to put up with that.
Well, now, and the great thing is you're 16. I mean, that's a great age to get a job. And I think the area that you're in Orlando, it would be very easy for you to go get a job at a place like Discovery Cove and really kind of hone in on some of your marine biology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to learn from being directly in a class in a school. So sometimes what's afforded to you, just even in being in Orlando, go get a job at the aquarium, go get a job at Discovery Cove. really be around and submerge yourself in things like that, that support that marine biology. And then that may be a job you decide you want for forever, for a while, even when you're in school, like college, and you're working on your degree. So there are a lot of great people that work. I have a lot of friends that work at Discovery Cove too. So if you need help trying to get a job, I'll put in some feelers for you, but that may be something you can always do and work on too.
Yeah, and Julie, if I could add to that, what a lot of people don't know is that the state does kick in funding when the children come into your home because they know it's an additional expense and so on. But one of the best parts is that they also, they have Medicaid if you don't want to put them on your insurance. But in addition to that, you know, people may say, well, oh God, if I take on a teenager, I didn't save for college. Well, guess what? They will also pay for college if it's within the state of Florida. So the funds are circular in public school, right? It can't be private, but, you know, UCF, if you like any of those, you know, major schools or trade schools that they want to go into, they will also pay for that. So yes, this is a bit of a plug, but it's also me speaking on behalf of the teenagers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And thank you for that. And for saying that to those that are listening. My question next is for Manny and Nate, and that is, you know, most people go through the school photos every year. You know, it's the first day of school, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. Y'all jumped right into the middle of high school. You've missed some of that on some level, but what was it like for the two of you walking around as dads and knowing that this is our son? And that, how did that feel? How did that feel kind of going through that situation for you guys?
It was fun, although I think it was a little overshadowed by the fact that we didn't have the schedule and everything was so rushed.
Yeah.
I think that it really got exciting for us, you know, late last week when Ethan got his schedule and had his first full day of school. So he actually, for the first 2 days of school, Julie, he was sitting in the auditorium in the mornings for the first several hours. In fact, on Tuesday, the first day of school, I had to come pick him up because they didn't have his schedule ready and they were done for the day with scheduling. So he finally got his schedule late morning on Wednesday and was able to go to his midday and afternoon classes. But his first full day was Thursday. And that's, you know, that was fun for us. I think, you know, we actually took some family photos on Tuesday morning for the first day of school. It was really fun to join the ranks of everybody that I've seen for years posting those mandatory first day of school pictures.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
And just the joy that you must have felt too, though, in that moment, you know, and just what you're helping Ethan achieve and in the fostering aspect. I mean, that's got to feel amazing on some level.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I don't know. I mean, as far as it goes with, you know, coming through the years with the pictures and all those types of things, I mean, we just keep going back to the fact that, you know, Ethan needed something, we needed something, and we kind of fulfilled each other's need. And, you know, and that's based in love, but we fulfilled each other's need. So we're just looking forward to all the years down the road of seeing what he becomes and what he does.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, I would be remiss if I didn't ask, because in theory, it's amazing what is going on right now. But everybody that goes into a new situation has some trepidation and some hurdles that have to be overcome. Has it been easy for you, Ethan, kind of transitioning into this new?
No.
And do you want to share any about that? Do we want to share anything about that?
I mean, it was kind of easy at the beginning, but then it got hard because chores. I haven't had to do chores in, like, years, like 4 years. They argue with me if I eat too much sugar. So it kind of really ticks off the switch, if you know what I mean. And just overall, like, Manny and I were too similar, so we argue a lot. Nate and I were together way too much, so we argue way too much. So it's kind of like him and I are too similar, and him and I are just around each other way too much. So it's just like I guess just the swap every now and again will like kind of help that situation. But
yeah,
unfortunately, with their work schedules, he can't really work from home that well. He can because he owns his business. But me, I'm just stuck here. I'm stuck in between.
But I would say, you know, with that, each time, even though it is hard at the moment, we are on an upward trajectory, right? Yeah. Each day, we tackle something, we learn something, we move on from that, right? So, you know, it is definitely a long-haul approach. This does not happen overnight. So
what I say to all families who are doing this, you know, wherever you are, no matter what the age of the child is, make sure you find a good support group for yourself as well. And obviously make sure that the family's in therapy, because the transition period is different for everybody. And, you know, we're not only talking about the children, they're coming from, if they came from an actual foster home where it was a home with, you know, a mother and a father, a dad and a dad, or a mother, and mother, whatever it may be, or a single parent, they're probably used to doing chores. They're used to doing things of that nature. And this is nothing against Ethan, but a lot of kids who are in the group home situation, or a lot of kids go, and I want everyone to hear this, go from home to home every night with a trash bag. Okay. Now picture that. They go from home to home every night. How can you get any semblance of normalcy? Right. There's no chores. There's nothing there. So when they come to a home, kind of like Ethan did, where it's like, okay, now you're here. Okay, take the dog out, do the dishes. I mean, we do it too. He's not a slave. But I mean, there's other things that he has to do. It's a hard transition for them because they're not used to it. And then you as the family, you have your ideology of what it is to parent based on what your parents did. But what your parents did does not mean that that was correct, right? So that's where the therapists come in. That's where the group sessions with other families where you can learn from them. There's a movie out there called Instant Family. And for anyone who hasn't seen it, Mark Wahlberg is in it. I forget the female actress, but she's amazing. That was actually consulted by DCF as well. So a lot of what happens in that movie, it has Hollywood fluff in it, of course, and has a happy ending. But what happens in that movie is actually true. So we have our clients actually watch that movie. Because it will pretty much lay out the course of what's going to happen.
Now, you were just talking about different parenting styles. I mean, this is really new for even you and Nate, because y'all been together for a few years, but you're not getting to like ease into it necessarily. Yeah. You're not saying like we have a newborn and I want to raise it like this or do that. So for Nate and Manny, do you struggle even with, as a couple, have y'all struggled with?
Yeah, that's a good question. We have in the beginning, we did a little bit. And actually, you know, parents, be careful with that, because you don't want to drag the children into it. Because what happens is the child will feel like they are the one drawing the wedge between the family, and it makes them feel horrible. Right, Ethan? So you don't want that to happen. So communication, I know that sounds very cliche, but it's communication key. Is the key. The parents need to make sure that they're on the same page at all times, because it is natural. Remember back to when you were a teenager, even if you weren't in the foster system, it is natural to try to divide and conquer. That is a natural pathway that children will try to do in gaining their independence. So parents have to make sure that they're on the same page at all times. If you have to, you take a break. Try not to yell. Try not to scream. You know, we've all gotten into that, and we are working on not doing that. That has happened. I'm not going to lie. We're humans. That's the way it goes. But the important part is recognizing it, knowing it's a problem, retreating, go to your corners, have a conversation, and then come back and address it. That's the therapeutic way of addressing the situation. And I would advise that to all foster and adoptive parents that are coming into the situation.
Great. Yay.
And I would say also one thing that, you know, we've been learning is our strong suits as parents. You know, and we've kind of taken up roles, I would say, in that space too. So like for me, I'm trying to help Ethan focus more on school. and really taking the lead with that. Manny will contribute from time to time.
I'm trying to make him popular.
But he's working on helping Ethan with social adjustments and making friends and building lasting relationships. So, I mean, it's a good thing, and it makes us a nice team because we really can bring our best feet forward. So,
Ethan, what grade are you in this year?
I am a junior. I am in 11th grade.
Honestly, you're going to get to go to prom. Any prospects? Yeah. Have you already checked out the land and been like, I may ask that person prom?
First, there's homecoming, which is for all the grades. And this year's theme, all the students voted on it. I would have preferred A Night Under the Stars, which was like supposed
Who
to
wouldn't? Be
a romantic picnic kind of thing under like LED lights and out in the open at night. And then, but 44.8% of people voted on doing like a party theme, which is like nothing but dark glowing colors.
Yeah.
Like neon lights. Flashing lights, neon lights.
Glow sticks.
Kind of like what my room light looks like if I don't
have it. I mean, we used to, the older people in this chat used to call that a rave.
A rave, yeah.
You can call it that if you want to, but it's a school rave, so it's
Ethan,
it's fun.
Did you tell Manny about the glasses I brought out tonight?
No.
So I had this pair. I had this pair of glasses. I was like, Ethan, I have the perfect accessory for you if you want to go to the dance. Yes, you could.
Wait, is it 80s themed?
No, but that's what my choir is.
My choir is 80s music.
I feel like Nate was like Ducky in 17. Pretty in Pink. Like yeah, Nate would have been like Ducky.
Oh, Ducky.
Oh God!
I bet they look great on you, though. I bet you these glasses.
Yeah, but they're really cool because they actually respond to the sound. So as the sound goes up, they go.
Oh yeah, the lights probably bounce on them. Yeah. That's cool. Probably give me a seizure. So let's not show me that. Yeah, I wanted to know if you had already like scoped out the lay of the land. Like, who are you taking to homecoming and who are you taking to prom?
I kind of asked someone already.
What?
Not romantically. I wanted
look at, to. Look at Julie getting it out. Aunt Julie just got it out.
No. He's this, Italian
boy. The guy from the ice cream shop?
No.
Oh, an Italian boy.
Italian.
We'll talk about this later.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Y'all can discuss that later, but you can thank Aunt Julie for getting it out in the open.
Apparently, I know nothing that's happening.
Okay, so now we're at a part of the show where we do five questions, and I've already pre-explained it to the boys and to Ethan because he's new to this. This is where I ask five questions of Ethan, not really rapid. I just ask questions, and it can be questions that have nothing to do with anything, or it could have to do with us, or I mean, tonight should be interesting. So, Ethan, your first question of the evening is, do you already have a favorite subject in your junior year at school?
Yes. My first favorite and probably most favorite subject other than lunch is chorus.
Chorus?
Those are like my only two favorites because one, I don't have to do work, and the other one, I don't have to do work, but I get to sing.
So, what is that subject about? Did you say chorus?
Chorus.
Like singing, like with a choir. Yeah.
My brain went chorus, and then I thought, oh, is that like a law class? Like, that's where my brain went.
I'm not going to be like him. I'm not going to go into law.
Law's changing.
Wow.
Law is changing. Exactly. It's okay. It's okay. So, chorus, you love chorus. And, this is not part of any other question, but it's part of that first question. Do y'all have like a glee choir is it more of just like?
We have theater and then we have a musical coming up towards December. Anybody in the choir or theater, or anybody in general that is good at acting and or decent at singing, they can join. They can like sign up for it, audition for the role. Me personally, I don't know if I can do that because I haven't even taken theater, so I don't. I mean, I can get good at acting in some things, but that's only when I want something.
Oh, trust me, you're dramatic. I think you should go for it.
Let me tell you something that most people know. If you're a part of the gay community, That's all of us. Then you're really great at acting.
I guess you could say that, yeah.
It comes in the genes.
Drama is a part of it. Right.
But with Chorus, we are going to be doing performances. Like 2 years ago, there was a field trip that was canceled because of COVID, but it was a field trip to go to New York. And they were to perform like nationals against another school down there.
Nice.
So it doesn't, we don't know if that'll happen today, but, or this year, but if it does, it'll be kind of exciting to go to a state I've never been to.
Yeah. New York's beautiful too. You'll love it. Yeah, and I love singing and I think music's important. So I come from a very musical background. And so I love that you're in chorus. Okay. Question number two. Since you've been with your dads, what is one of your favorite memories or new memories with the two of them? Not to put you on the spot.
I mean, I would say MegaCon, but I wasn't with them half the time. I guess the time we went and saw Black Widow was a really good time. And then we had went out and ate dinner, except this dude here had such a short temper and didn't want to wait.
I have restaurant issues.
He put a 2-star on Bento's because I didn't have waiting service.
I mean, you got dinner. I got pizza and wine.
I wish I had pizza and wine.
She did get pizza.
But I did get to go swimming, so it's okay.
I actually thought you were going to talk about our second weekend.
Oh, yes, Pride.
Which was what? It wasn't just Pride. It was your first one.
It was my very first Pride. I completely forgot about that. My very first Pride I've been to was this recent June, like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Was in June. It was my very first Pride. I've never been to one, mainly because, well, one, COVID. Two, I'm 16 and they don't think it's safe for me to go because of all the alcoholics and gay stuff that goes around.
Yeah, but you'll have front row seats to October's Pride. I mean, hey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. That's kind of why I want him to stay on the board.
Oh, hi, Allie.
He does great things on the board, so I'm sure he'll...
Yeah, that's kind of why I want him to stay on it, because then I can get discounts and stuff.
I don't know about discounts. Pride's got to make money.
If
you won't get a discount.
On the board, I think I should get discounts.
You may get
front viewing for the parade, but I don't know about discounts. We got to make our money at Orlando Pride.
I might get on a float. That'll probably be it.
Question number three. What upcoming holiday are you looking forward to spending the most
Christmas.
With your dads? Christmas. Are you a big Christmas goer?
I used to be.
You used to be?
After my mom passed away, not so much. But now I have something newer to look forward to.
And, I mean, how cute is Alligator going to look in a Christmas Santa hat?
Oh, I know.
She's right here below the table.
She came and leaned her head.
Allie likes me. So, I mean, she's like, ooh, that's
She knows
Julie.
That voice.
She's like, Julie's.
Then why'd she tuck her head in my lap?
Because Julie's not here.
Yeah. Okay, what was that? Question number three?
Yes.
Question number four. If you could have any job in the future, I mean, we talked a little bit about marine biology, but that's such a huge field. What job would you, what's your kind of end goal job?
Like a backup plan?
Well, no, I'm just saying even within marine biology, there's so many different areas of study and things that you could do. So if there was something you could even pinpoint in that area, I mean, what job would you love to do?
I'd probably love to go, like, as a backup, if I get in shape, definitely a go-go bar dancer. If I don't get in shape, I'll be a bar waiter.
Yeah,
and if I don't make it to the very top of the marine bio job that I want, I will definitely try to work with marine life and coral and all that.
Well, whatever job you end up getting, there's sailors in both. So, so I mean, whether it be marine biology or go-go dancing, you'll come across the naval fleets.
I got connections at Savoy.
We all have connections at Savoy.
We all got connections at Savoy, girl.
Question number five. What's something you're absolutely not going to miss about being in the system?
Good question.
Oh my God, there are so many.
How much time do you have?
I know. Okay, well,
it's my show. We can keep talking all week.
Nobody yelling at me to do something. But I won't regret. I won't miss how people kept sticking someone in my room during the corona and giving me the chance of catching it. And because before I had my shot, I still have a small amount of asthma. It would have been really dangerous for me. But now I have my shot, and now, but because of the new variants, it's only, what you say, 40% effective?
Yeah, Pfizer.
So since I'm kind of in a comfort of a safe environment, like my own home, it's a lot better for me because, one, I have my own room and I don't have to worry about sharing that with anybody without my choice of doing so.
Until your aunt comes to visit.
there are two other beds. There's the sailboat one and then there's the cell one.
The cell one. Okay.
It looks like a prison cell. There's only one tiny window. It's one tiny window. And that's it. There's not a TV in there. You have barely any room to walk.
No TV. What room did I stayed in that first room off the landing.
That's
the prison room?
That's no. What he calls the cell.
That's what I call the cell.
It was very nice and pretty and I'll take it. I'll take it back.
I stay in the old Manny Cave. Now it's the gay club. Or the gay lounge, as I like to call it.
The gay lounge.
The gay lounge. It's a lot better for me. There's the fact that I am going to miss not having chores, but I won't miss not having someone I can talk to on a regular basis. Actually, sometimes I might miss that.
But you do have that now. I mean,
but,
on some level, you've got overall, two to choose from.
There's too many things for me to get into that I won't miss, and too many things that I will.
Well, I would love in the future to have maybe just a conversation with you where we talk about some of those things that you're not going to miss, and some of the things that people really don't understand about what it means to be in that situation. I think that would be a great follow-up, just once you get more situated in your current environment. If you would ever like to come back on and talk about that, we can absolutely do that.
Yeah, I'd be grateful to let you have me.
Oh, also, I have a surprise for you guys. So even though you get, we were talking with Manny, you get some things from the state to help with funding and different things like that. JustJulie.com and my team behind Russell Johns, which is my PR team, and Blair is in here right now. She would like to send, we would like to send you $100 Amazon gift card to use towards school supplies.
Awesome.
So,
thank you so much. Thank you.
And that's just a testament that we believe in all of you. You know, I believe in my friendship and my connection with Nate and Manny, but we also believe in you, Ethan, and the things that you are going to do in the future. So that is our gift.
That's amazing. That was very sweet. Thank you, everybody. That is so sweet.
And Nate and Manny, of course, I'll get with you guys later to make sure we have an address to send that out to you. And thank you, Blair. Candace already left. That's okay. And we'll have more people joining probably in the next couple of days. But now we are at the part of the show where my guests get to ask me a question about my intersex life. And Nate and Manny have asked some great questions before, but because this show is really about introducing the world to Ethan and his new environment, Ethan, I know we don't know each other that well, but feel free to ask me whatever you want to know. The floor is yours.
Okay. Well, I mean, I can't really say, I don't know how it is. So that's what I'm going to ask. Like, how was it being in between? Was it like hard or was it just go with the flow?
So for those that know my story, I have felt in between my whole life. And for people that know my story now as Julie, I've only transitioned into Julie in the last 3 years. So I went and took part in a huge study at the National Institute of Health. And they came in and they were like, this is what's going on in your body. This is what you have going on long term. If you would like to live past 48, you need to do this and it's going to cause a full transition. And so, you know, for most of my life, I thought I was a gay man. And even though I knew that I was different and I felt split, I didn't know that that's not what it meant to be gay. I just assumed growing up that I was gay. And so now I'm able to look back and be like, oh my gosh, maybe on some level I was, and I identified that way, but it really is, I was just having feelings that I would feel even now as a straight woman, right? Because I date straight men and gay men. So for me, you have to realize that all through high school, I found out at 17 I had the extra chromosome, but I was already going to graduate at 18. And so my mindset was, I'm out. I could care less. Because everybody was telling me, it doesn't change who you are. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't make you gay. So I was like, I'm going to college. I'm going to drink myself half blind and I'm going to sow my oats and whatever happens, happens. But it was in my 30s when my body really started to be affected by being XXY that I really had to take a new stance on what was going on. And then, so, I mean, my story is very different. In the sense from other XXYs, some XXYs don't even find out they're XXY until they go to father or foster children, right, naturally. And then they find out they have an extra variation in their workup or in their. So for me, I felt differently growing up, but it wasn't a difference of I'm both because I really didn't understand at 17. And the information wasn't out there and the research wasn't out there. I just still assumed I was a gay man. And then in my 40s, and now as I'm in my late 40s and I'm dealing with all of this, it is very different, but I'm very blessed that I've gotten to live in both vessels. And so in my advocacy work, I say, this is all a vessel. This is all a vessel. I tell people all the time, this is a good example. You don't buy wine because of the vessel it's in. You buy it for the liquid that's inside it. You care about the wine. This is just what surrounds it and protects it. All of this just protects my inner life spirit and my inner soul. So whether I be in a boy vessel or a girl vessel, it doesn't matter because my soul is what matters. And what goes through life, this life or any other life, is my inner spirit. And when I die, this vessel falls away and my spirit rises and goes on to wherever it goes. So I think it's very important to remind people that it's just a vessel. And had they come to me at 43 and said, you're going to die at 48, drink this, it's going to turn you into a Jack Russell Terrier, you'd be doing a podcast right now with a dog. Because it wasn't about anything other than just extending my life spirit's life and my journey on earth. So hard, no. Frustration, because I didn't know for myself for the longest time. And when I came in contact with parents and teachers and people that I knew and friends and family members, there was a level of frustration because I could never really understand what I was going through. I could never make them understand what I was going through. Or, you know, why I was slow to process on school traits and different things like that. So frustration, yes, but never necessarily a hard life. I'm blessed that this is the life that I've gotten to lead. And I'm blessed that I'm able to advocate about it every day in a little bit of a way that's going to change perceptions and opinions of the whole intersex community as we move on. Very much the same way that you being very out and in the moment of what you're going through is going to change perceptions, and conversations are going to happen about what it means to be gay and young and what it means to be part of the adoption system and what it means to be like. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I understand what you mean.
Well, it is 7:09, so we're right on schedule. I do want to make sure that we circle back in the future to talk about what it was really like for you in the system. I think that's really important. I think that's important for a lot of people to understand, both parents and children and your peers. So we'll definitely schedule that in the future if you're down to come back and talk to an old lady. And then we've got, I just want to thank everybody that has continued to follow Rosé All Day and Julie's a Mess. A lot of things are coming up in the future. Things, some things I can talk about, some things I can't. But thank you for following me. For more content, you can always tune in to justjulie.com. We're always putting up everything that's going on in my life on that platform and forum. The boys are going to stick around for me in the green room, and we're going to have a little bit of a powwow about how we think the show went and answer any questions. To everybody else, thank you for joining us in chat. Thank you for joining us and watching the show. I am blessed on a daily basis that people want to be involved in my life and want to join me on this fantastical journey. So join us next week as we try another rosé and we have a new guest on. And I can't thank you enough. Boys, thank you so much for joining us. Manny.
Thank you. Bye, everybody. Bye.
And I'll see y'all in the green room in just a few seconds. And
for more content, follow justjulie.com. That's just Julie, JULEIGH.com. Thank you to our guests, and thank you for joining us this evening. Join us next week as Julie tries a different rosé.